Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I have another very interesting show lined up for you today. There is some new stuff coming out in the divorce area in Florida, and so I've invited a gentleman I've known for quite some time who has a very strong reputation in the legal area. His name is Paul Rice. He is an attorney that is practicing. You're still practicing, right? Right, Paul?
I'm still practicing, trying to get better, yeah.
All right, still practicing. Paul is with Rice and Rose, of course, Paul Rice. And you and Jim Rose have been together, is it 27 years?
27 years.
David. Wow, neither one of you guys are old enough to do it that long.
I've been with Jim longer, and he's been with any of his wives.
You are a very kind gentleman, I'm sure that... Jan would appreciate that.
He only had two wives, by the way.
Okay.
And Jan's been for a long time.
All right. Well, they are quality people. And let's do this. RiceRoseLaw.com. That's a good website for people to learn more about who you guys are, right?
It sure is. It has it's a very informative website. It's got all of the attorneys' and credentials, as well as we have a blog on all the different legal subjects, as well as any area of the law. We've got informative documents about everything you need to know about.
All right, that's good. And just for the record, which is important that this record be in, Mr. Rice is a board certified in marital and family law by the Florida Bar of Legal Specialization and Education. So you've done a lot of work in the family law area. I also understand you've had over, 25 years also dealing with personal injury as well.
Yeah, I've been practicing overall for 30 years, actually.
Wow.
I have my 30th anniversary in October of this year, actually.
Excellent. Well, and, you've got your time in.
I've practiced personal injury my whole career, although I've gravitated toward and do primarily divorce and family law now. I still have a limited personal injury practice where I handle just larger cases.
But right.
By and large, 85-90% of my practice is divorce and family law.
Well, if you're doing divorce and family law, you're handling dealing with plenty of personal injury there as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emotional in nature.
Well, let's get right to the heart of why I wanted to have Mr. Rice on the line with us today, and that is there. I heard through the grapevine, and I knew you would know all about it. Is that there is a coming change, or it's already here, about alimony in Florida? So.
Correct.
Get us up to speed on that and what that means and how it might affect people who are either already divorced and receiving alimony or people that might get divorced or in the middle of getting divorced or, you know, so give us some insight here.
I will give you the skinny on it, David.
All right.
There is a move afoot in Florida by a group known as the Florida Alimony Reform to revise and amend the Florida alimony laws, primarily to do away with what we call permanent alimony altogether and make several other changes. And before I talk about those changes, let me sort of digress a little bit and talk about the fact that they actually, Florida Alimony Reform, lobbied and actually got the legislature last year, both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, by overwhelming majorities, passed their bill eliminating permanent alimony, allowing alimony payor spouses to go back and retroactively eliminate their alimony obligation, and limiting alimony to no longer than 50% of the duration of the marriage.
Wow.
However, with 4 hours before that was to become law, sitting on the desk of Governor Rick Scott, he vetoed that bill.
Okay.
So it went
through.
It was vetoed by Governor Scott. obviously he wants to become reelected, and he felt like politically that would have alienated 50% electorate, i.e. females.
Yeah.
And there was some good reason for it. The problem with that first bill that got vetoed last year was there was some overreach.
Yeah.
The overreach was giving people the right to go back and undo their alimony obligation.
I see.
You know, so you'd have a lot of, you know, and again, alimony goes both ways. It's not limited to men paying women.
Right.
Paying wives. It goes both ways. But traditionally or historically, you'd have a bunch of little old ladies who were divorced 30 years ago who all of a sudden would be thrown into poverty because they'd have their alimony automatically terminated.
You'd have basically somebody else who was not party to that original deal coming in, basically changing the deal on them.
Almost like an ex post facto law.
There you go. See, I knew you'd put a proper Latin term on that. Okay.
Latin on it makes it sound like I'm smart.
All right.
There was two things in that bill that really rubbed people wrong. One was the retroactivity of it, that is letting you go back and eliminate an existing alimony obligation. Number two, it provided, or it has nothing to do with alimony, an automatic 50-50 on custody for the kids.
Oh, good grief. Now you're mixing apples and oranges, right?
Exactly.
We're talking about financial versus custodial.
It's automatically 50-50 on the kids. You know, I also explain to my clients, you know, children aren't bank accounts.
Right.
You don't divide a human being by 50%
right.
or by two, you know. So at any rate, so the governor met with the Florida alimony reform folks in October, that is the month before last, and the Florida alimony reform people in conjunction with a senator and a representative, I guess probably the point people from last time around.
Right.
Together with the family law section of the Florida Bar, are all working together. I say working together. I don't think the family law section really wants to be a part of this deal, other than they do want to influence if it's going to go through it. The prospects are that this will pass next time around, 2014. So without the retroactive part of
right.
it, and possibly without the 50-50 on the kids.
Yeah, and I would, you know, I always hold out hope. I'm an eternal optimist, Paul. You probably know that about me. I would like to hope that, you know, the last time around, Rick Scott vetoed it because it was a bad law, not just because it was politically expedient. And I would hope this time around they come up with something that, you know, really is responsive and good. I guess that's a very, very subjective term. Good for all parties involved.
Yeah, fair.
You know,
fair is what we're always, you know, fairness is the hallmark. You know, what they're going to try to, and I think a lot of it makes sense, what they would do is they would eliminate permanent alimony altogether. And just for your listening audience, permanent means until either party dies, or until the recipient spouse remarries.
Okay.
Okay, recipient's the one who's receiving the alimony. So they would eliminate that altogether. They would also limit alimony to no longer than one half the duration of the marriage.
So even if they wanted, so let me get this right. Kind of where this is headed is even if, and we'll just say, let's reverse it to get away from this stereotype. Let's say that a woman wants to give her husband in the divorce. They were married for 10 years, but she still wants to pay him for 10 years. This law would prevent that.
No, that would not.
Okay.
You can do contractually almost anything
as long as
it's not illegal and against public policy.
All right. So you're talking about where the court's actually deciding.
I'm talking about the court. You know, if the parties cannot reach an agreement, which, by the way, 95% of all people reach an agreement.
If they've got a good attorney, they do.
If they have a good attorney, they do, because a good attorney should try harder to settle the case than they should to go to trial.
Yeah.
Because people are better off if they can resolve their own differences. So no, so this basically limits the judge to awarding alimony for no longer than one half the length of the marriage.
Okay, all right, I'm with you.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, I have Paul Rice on the line. He is a well-respected attorney in the Volusia Flagler area, and he is somebody I've known for quite some time. RiceRoseLaw.com. Take a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay right there.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Paul Rice on the line with us. He is a board certified. Let me get the whole long thing. It's a big one. Marital and family law.
Certified in divorce and family law by the Florida Bar.
That's you. And you know what? I can speak to that. Board certification is important. When I had some surgery back in 2005, I had a couple of crushed discs, Paul. And I, you know, being an athlete, you know all about the injury side of that. I went out and I found a surgeon. He was board certified neurosurgeon. So I know about those board certifications. They're important.
Yeah, so, less than 6% of all lawyers in Florida are board certified. So
wow.
If your radio audience is looking for an attorney, board certification is a credential they should look for.
Excellent. RiceRoseLaw.com, 386-257-1222. And so we're talking a little bit about the coming, and it does sound like there's a good chance this is going to happen, doesn't it?
Yes, okay. It definitely does, David.
Okay. So let's talk now about the practical implications. You gave a statistic before about, you know, a very high percentage of divorces being accomplished through a settlement and not going to court, or, you know, having to be decided by the judge, I should say. It still has to be court approved, right?
Yes, it has to be court approved. Although as a general rule, you know, I jokingly say most of the judges will rubber stamp whatever the agreement is. That
it'd have to be pretty darn lopsided, right?
Sure, it would have to be, yes.
All right, so is this going to, I guess the question is once this plays out and there are these changes to how alimony is done, when the court decides, will that, you think, increase the number of settlements, or does this take some of the pressure off of that?
That's a good question, David. Your question is the new law, the new alimony law that let's say assume it goes through and eliminates permanent alimony and limits any alimony award to no more than one half of the length of the marriage. If that goes through, I think it would facilitate agreements because now we know what the upside is. We have a limit.
Okay.
You know, right now, we go to court. You could have an 18-year marriage, and the court could order permanent alimony, and whoever the wealthier spouse is could end up paying alimony for the next 40 years because of a 17-year marriage. And those are the type of horror stories that are being real-life stories, by the way, not theoretical stories,
right,
that Florida alimony reform is relying on. When they talk about, you know, trying to reform these alimony laws, because what happens is a lot of times that the spouse is paying this alimony, now they can't retire when they normally would have retired.
Right.
And oftentimes they can't afford to get remarried. So this is a disincentive and a violation of, you know, our state's public policy. We want to encourage people to marry. It also discourages the spouse that's receiving the alimony, it discourages them from remarrying, because if they remarry, they lose their alimony.
Mm. And is there a provision in here that's going to remove that piece of it? Where that, in other words, will it, if they make these changes, will it also kind of remove the fact that if you get married, you...
Well, right now, it terminates upon remarriage now,
right,
anyway.
Okay, but okay. Will it change that?
If you have a person who's receiving $5,000 a month of alimony, okay, permanent, that is until that person dies or remarries, what incentive do they have to remarry? They actually just move in with the person they like, you know what I'm saying, their boyfriend or girlfriend, and do everything like a married couple except for go down to the courthouse and get married.
Right.
But we actually have a new law on that, like 2011 we passed a new... The legislature passed a law called, under the modification statute, allowing us to modify alimony if we can prove that recipient spouse, again, the recipient being the receiving spouse, if that recipient spouse is in a supportive relationship.
I got you.
You have to prove all this stuff. You know, it's like a bunch of elements you have to prove.
Hire the private detectives.
Private detectives. You got to do your discovery.
Yeah.
Find out they're sharing a bank account. Are they getting mail at the same address?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Those types of things. But so, anyways, I think to answer your question,
yeah,
I think if they pass this law, it will give us some certainty.
Okay.
Okay. As to what a court can and can't do, and therefore, I think it would facilitate settlement.
Okay. Well, is that, now I guess there's two sides to this. You know, if you are defending, think it through here. If you are defending as the attorney, Paul, the moneyed spouse,
you have to pay the alimony.
Yeah. Then that might make it give you a stronger hand if they know that the ultimate worst, kind of the quote unquote worst case is that maybe if the marriage is a short marriage, then that definitely could make that settlement go a lot quicker and easier.
Exactly.
Okay. So, if you're on the other side of that, then that puts some real pressure to, you better roll up your sleeves and work hard to get that settlement done, because you know that it's going to be a short time frame on the other side as well.
And you know, the reality is that in a lot of cases it should be short, because here's what can happen now. Let's say two people get married at the age of 20, and they stay married for 17 years. Okay, that's in Florida. The alimony statute currently defines a long-term marriage as that of 17 years or more.
Okay.
So then you get divorced after 17 years, and a judge could order one spouse to pay the other permanent alimony. Okay. Now a 37-year-old person is receiving alimony. 37-year-old person could conceivably live another 50 years, okay? So now someone could be paying alimony for 50 years. Of course, if they die, the only way they get off the hook is if they die, right?
Damn if you do and damn if you don't.
That's not a plan.
Okay.
But anyway, that's just not right.
All right. Well, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Rice is on the other end of the line with me. And I did not mean to limit your local market expertise. I know that you know a lot about what's going on all over the state. And we'll come back. I'll ask you a little bit about what's happening around the world, more specifically around the country with some of this. And ricerosenlaw.com is the website. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Paul Rice on the line with me, specializing in divorce law, and ricerosenlaw.com is the website. Paul, let me ask you this. I was going to get to this right before the break. Where does this put us if this does play out and we have this alimony change? Where does that put us, vis-a-vis the other states? Does that make us more in line with them? Are we getting out in front of people, other states, or where does it put us?
That puts us with the trend.
Okay.
The trend is toward eliminating permanent alimony.
Okay.
You know, there's several other states that are heading that direction. I know, like, Texas, for example, is a very anti-alimony state.
Okay.
Not that Texas is any trendsetter, by the way.
Easy does it there. I bet we got some Texans listening.
Okay.
Hey, this thing's worldwide now, Paul, so watch out. Well, it's interesting because, sometimes different areas of the country, of course, are perceived to be more progressive than others. Or
very much so.
I just was curious where that puts us. And so I was thinking on the break, so somebody gets married, they're married for 20 years. If this works out the way it sounds like it's going to head, then 20 years means at a minimum, if the court is the one to decide, a 10-year period of alimony.
Correct.
Okay. Now,
correct.
One thing that's important to kind of slice off of this, and I think this is good for you to help us understand this, Paul, is we're not talking about property settlement, asset division. We're talking about alimony. So there's still, the court still would have latitude in how they divvy up the assets, not talking about alimony?
They have some latitude, David. Florida is what we call an equitable distribution state. And we, at the time that the divorce is filed, I call it martial law of the assets and liabilities. That is, identify them all, and then characterize them as to whether they're marital assets or non-marital. Typically, a non-marital asset would be something, an asset owned by one of the spouses before the marriage, or an inheritance during
okay.
the marriage.
Okay.
So we once we identify and characterize these assets, we move the non-marital assets out of what I call the marital pie. And then after that, generally there's a presumption of a 50-50 distribution, although there are factors, and, you know, similar factors to the alimony statute.
Okay.
There are factors, and you can make a request for an unequal distribution of marital assets. Maybe one of the parties was a gambler or a drunk or was wasting assets on an affair. Like I said, it was a gambler, those type of things. So there is a basis for an unequal distribution of marital assets and liabilities. But you're right, those are two distinctly different things. That is the division of assets and liabilities versus the alimony.
Okay. And then you also have, also not affected by this, which is also separate, is child support.
Correct. Right, correct. Basically, what the court is asked to do in Florida in a marriage is to address issues in a certain order. The first is the parenting plan, and that is, you know, decide where the children are going to live or what nights you're going to stay with each parent. And so they devise the parenting plan, and we call it timeshare. We don't call it visitation anymore. We call it timesharing. And so they determine the timesharing, that is how they're going to divide the kids up, what nights, et cetera. Then from there, they go to the equitable distribution, that is, they divide the assets and liabilities. And then after that, the court is asked to make an alimony award, if any. And then the fourth issue they address is child support. And the last one is what we call everything else. So the acronym is PEACE. Doesn't sound, it's like, sort of...
Very ironic.
Very ironic, yeah.
Yeah.
PEACE is the acronym. Parenting plan, equitable distribution, alimony, child support, everything else. Everything else is partition of real property, attorney's fees, relocation of minor children.
I got you.
So yes, and child support is according to guidelines. Chapter 6130 is very specific as to what components go into the guidelines. It's the net income of each parent, the overnights in the parenting plan,
right?
The health insurance, child care, who's claiming the dependency exemption on the kids, and then they calculate it all out and they determine who's going to pay what. But what we're seeing now, that if you want to talk about trends, we're seeing things are trending closer to the parents not getting 50-50, but the parent who used to just get every other weekend is now getting, you know, let's say, you know, three nights out of every seven instead of one or two out of every seven nights. So there's finally a recognition that children are better off with two parents. Back when I first started practicing, David, you know, mom would always get custody.
Really?
And dad would get every other weekend, that is Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and until Sunday at 5 p.m., period.
Wow.
No midweek contact, and then maybe half of Christmas Day, half of Easter Day, and 2 weeks in the summer. I mean, it really was pathetic. And so the trend has been, I think there's a recognition, not that, you know, dads are much better than they thought they were, but kids are better off with the involvement of two parents. And so we're finding, when it comes to the number of overnights that a parent has with the children, it used to be almost like a 80-20, 80% mom, 20% dad. Now it's closer to like a 60-40, and not necessarily dad-mom. You know, it
right.
depends. You know, obviously, all the traditional norms have changed. Women are now in the workplace. And that's one of the main reasons that this Florida alimony reform is underway, is a recognition that this traditional family unit that we all, you know, would like to have, and fortunately I've provided it for my for my children, but not everybody's that fortunate. You know, mom has to work now, and so it's a recognition that roles are changing, and women are in the workplace, and they're just as capable and you know, just same ability as men when it comes to earning money and providing for the family.
That, yeah, I was going to add in and then some, because
I mean, you go to law schools. Most law schools, more than 50% of law students are female.
Well, and I'm doing a head count in my office. There's 11 women and 4 men.
There you go.
I mean, there you go, and we've got a heck of a firm. So
I tell you, when it comes to me, you know, when we're looking for hiring a new attorney.
Yeah.
By and large, there's 3 good female candidates for every 2 male candidates.
How about that?
And this is going to sound really bad, but men oftentimes are lazy. Well, my experience is women are harder workers than men.
Well, so, there's a reason why we get the work done around here in my office.
Exactly.
you can connect the dots.
Despite you, David.
Yeah, despite me. But if you're just joining us, Paul Rice is my guest, and we're talking about some of the issues with alimony and what's happening with family law. RiceRoseLaw.com, 386-257-1222. Grab another quick break, and we'll come back with Paul. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Paul Rice is on the line with me, a family law attorney, divorce specialist. Really, it's board certification. And I've known Paul for some time, and he has a great reputation for helping people. So I got just a couple minutes here, Paul. Let's kind of give people the 2-minute warning, if you will. They're in a marriage, it's not working, and they're thinking about getting divorced. What's their first step?
Your first step really should be to educate yourself. Hmm. You don't need to run right down to the lawyer's office right
Good.
Away. Go on the internet. You go to, like, for example, our website, ricerosedlaw.com. We have resources, we have information. I've spelled out all the different, for example, all the different issues you may think about, whether it comes to parenting, relocation, minor children, alimony, child support, domestic violence. All that information is available. So the first thing you want to do is educate yourself, okay? Then you should go see an attorney, because getting divorced should not be a knee-jerk reaction. It should be something you approach with under an informed basis, intelligently and carefully.
Yeah, carefully.
So then you go meet with it before you even let your spouse know. You go and you meet with a divorce lawyer without him knowing. Pay with cash. There's no record of it. I mean, I'm not trying to say this to be underhanded, but go find
out. You got to protect yourself.
Preferably a board certified attorney.
Right.
Find out, you know, what your rights and obligations are as it relates to the divorce. Oftentimes, a good attorney can give them the facts of your marriage, whether it's, you know, incomes, assets, liabilities, children, etc. And most attorneys can give you sort of a nutshell assessment of what you're looking at if you get divorced. So that really should be your first step. That is, educate yourself, find a good attorney, go speak with a good attorney, and then possibly, depending on if your spouse is one of those ones that's underhanded and you know, they're hiding money, or they're going to hide money. Before you announce you want to get divorced, you should marshal all of your documents.
Yeah, that's
tax
key.
Returns, 401k statements, bank statements, pension information. Make copies of it. Return the originals so that the other spouse didn't know you even had it. Bring that down to the lawyer so that when it does go down, information doesn't disappear. Also, jewelry, assets, gold, videotapes of it, you know, get appraisals, those type of things, so the stuff doesn't disappear.
Very good.
But approach it intelligently, and don't make a knee-jerk reaction.
Excellent. Excellent, Paul. Good summary, and we thank you for being on the program. Paul Rice, ladies and gentlemen, Rice Rose Law, ricerosedlaw.com. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, David. Happy holidays.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.